I've been there. Like, I've done it. You know, I was a successful recording artist, and I chose the business side, which I don't think you even know this. Like, me being an artist, you know, I wanted it, but I didn't want it like that. Like, it happened. I will use the word good loosely, good at it, and it worked out for me, right? But my end goal was to be where I am now and where I'm going further.
Oh, Rosa, I was going to go back and ask you that. So you never intended on being an artist and rapper in the first place. You didn't.
So when you went to high school, and that's what you went to, I rap to get girls and it'd be cool. You know, that was it. I was from Cleveland, Ohio. I was a new kid on the block, you know, and music was my refuge and hip hop is my music is what I've grown up on. So, you know, it was my way of shining, so to speak. You know, I was a C-plus athlete, you know what I'm saying? So once I couldn't play sports anymore, music really became my thing. And that was my way of being cool and having my share of the teenage spotlight. Mm-hmm. Which happened, we turned it into a business. And, you know,
here you are.
A couple of decades later, here I am.
People were always asking, I know this is your big question, because as soon as you said that you work for Sony, you know, one, they're going to ask you if you know Beyonce. Then two, how do they get in the business? What's three pointers you can give somebody starting off? They don't know what to do, but they've been in their room, they got their Mac or whatever, the Microsoft computer, whatever PC they on doing their thing, they got their beats, they got some solid stuff, singer, rapper, group, whatever the situation may be. What's three serious pointers you say, here's what you got to make sure you do, this is important for you to get to where you want to get to?
Well, the first thing is an honest assessment, you know what I'm saying? Like, rapping and singing is two different things, right? And let's take it outside of the studio. Like, most people who can sing or can't sing, you can figure that out quickly, right? You know, you got a good voice, you don't. Now, we've had some people over the years slip through the cracks doing something different vocally, but generally speaking, you either can sing or you can't. When it comes to hip hop, that's a whole nother thing because, you know, cadence, you know, vocabulary, subject matter, rhyme skill, all those things become niche. You know what I'm saying? Like, whoever thought that you could make a whole industry just off of sex rap, right? You can go all the way back to Luke, right?
Right, right.
And Too Short. I mean, you figure, there's all kind of, you know, conscious rappers, you know, going with Common and The Roots and Poor Righteous Teachers and
yes,
X-Clan or Killer Mike, right? You know, two different styles with Big Boy and Andre 3000 being probably one of the coldest rap groups ever, but two totally different styles, but both incredible lyricists. So hip hop kind of blurs the lines a lot, right? So the conversation becomes, you know, are you good enough to make it? And good, again, being the operative word, meaning that, you know, you can have a Kanye mindset of don't matter what nobody else thinks, I am the best, I'm gonna be the best, right? And if you stick with it long enough and you have the opportunity to break through, or you can be someone who says, you know, nah, maybe this ain't for me. So the first thing is making an honest assessment of what you can do. So strictly speaking to the artist piece of this, if you have above B-level skills, first thing you need to do is develop your repertoire. You know, it's not like it was, you know, again, even 10 years ago where you had to go beat up the block. Now all you got to do is record it and hit a button. So I would say, one, just make sure your presentation is right. Like, is this something that you would go buy, or is this something that you would want to own if someone else gave it to you? So, you know, if you don't know how to do graphic arts, find somebody who does art design. You know, and again, it shouldn't cost you an arm and a leg. If you don't know how to necessarily engineer your own product, find somebody locally or even go online where you can borrow a beat, or, you know, you can rent beats now, right? So you can rent a track, right? And then ultimately make sure that, you know, when you're making your presentation, it's MC Azeem. Everything you have is MC Azeem. Your Twitter, your Instagram, your Twitter, your TikTok, you know, all your social media platforms, your YouTube page are all says at MC Azeem. That way people know how to find you consistently, because there's nothing worse than going to find MC Azeem 1 on Instagram and MC Azeem 1200 on YouTube.
Right.
And then if you're serious about your business, set up a platform for yourself that you can make money and monetize it. So set up a YouTube page where people can subscribe to you. Set up a SoundCloud page where people can subscribe to you so they know where to find you. And the other thing is engagement. Like, nobody wants to, you know, if I can't find you, or I don't think you're interesting, or if I can't figure out what you're doing, then what's the point? So you got to engage, you know, to whatever sector of the population you're trying to pitch to, whether it be men, whether it be women, whether it be teenagers, whether it be adults, like who, the college crowd, who's your audience? So I identify that. So, you know, again, singular vision in terms of what you're putting out to the universe, finding your audience, and then making sure that you are able to get that out properly and hopefully in an engaging and tasteful manner.
In the industry we're in now, man, it's changing so quickly. In your assessment, the next 3 to 5 years, it looks like what to you?
I think that we as a business, we pivoted properly when it came to streaming. You know, CDs was actually, you know, an opportunity for us to change the dynamic of consumerism. And that was an industry thing. CDs and MP3s was a force, right? With Napster and those companies that tried to take the companies down. So that was a faux pas. I think that going from MP3s to streaming was deliberate, and the people who run the labels were on time in terms of not being late and not letting the business get crazy. The problem was, and which we solved obviously, was how to quantify it, how to monetize it. I think that streaming obviously is going to be like, I don't know what else we could do that's different. Like that, it's the most touchless platform you have, right? You know, you don't need a CD, you don't need artwork. I mean, you need artwork, but there's nothing paper you need. There's nothing.
I miss that, man. Going to the record store on Tuesday, looking for the release, reading all the credits, who's on what now, and who did this and who engineered that, the drawings or whatever the photo looked like. I miss that, man.
But I think that's coming. It will not come back the way that it was, the way we grew up with it, but it will come back in terms in a niche kind of collector's specialty type of business. You know, like the shoe shows. You know, the sneaker cons and that kind of thing. There'll be a small population of the business of the world that wants to feel that. My daughter's 14. She wants to be a DJ. I just bought her a Serato. Right,
but it's an investment, bro.
But she wants to go get vinyl.
Wow.
So like, and she's 14. So I think that there'll be a niche business for that. But I think in terms of consumption and how we do it, I mean, listen, everybody, you know, Disney Plus and Apple Plus, like everybody's trying to find. If you look at all the subscriptions you need just to be current, that's a $500 bill every month, right?
How about that? Yeah.
So now you gotta make decisions, right? So I think there'll be a lot of consolidation on the production point, because everybody can't do it, everybody doesn't do it well, right? I think Netflix is kind of the Google of the entertainment side. You know, they kill Blockbuster. They own that piece, right? So they'll always probably be the biggest and the best. But now you talk about radio specifically. You know, Google, who has probably, you know, eyes everywhere, do they become a big player in that piece of it? Is it in the radio industry? Is it in the record industry? Or is it just overall in the media industry, right? So Google becomes a bigger player. But I think that, you know, it'll shift and it'll change. But I think that we are right now still, I mean, streaming as a huge platform is only 5 years old.
How important do you think visuals are?
I think it's absolutely important, because I mean, if you look at YouTube, you know, look at a visual stream versus an audio stream, there's going to be more eyes on it. So people, again, that connection, that, because you don't have that, right? So people want that connection, and there's no BET, there's no MTV, there's no place to watch that kind of stuff. So, I mean, YouTube has become, you know, watching something on the stream is YouTube. Doesn't matter what it is, no matter what platform you use, it's like back to
all my kid rock watches. My kid don't even listen. Yeah. All my kid does is YouTube.
But it's like, you know, but so that visual medium, right? And then when you want to hear something, you know, you're going to go to one of the other platforms, and maybe if you're mobile. But I think that the visual gives people a connection to see and feel a little bit of who that artist is and have a connection with the fans. So I think it's super important. And I think that the benefit of it is that, you know, again, you can touch people, you know, one-on-one. Even now, you know, you and I is a visual medium, right?
Yes, sir.
I think that the people who win at it are going to be the people who get creative, because hip-hop videos specifically, they all still the same. Champagne, cars, jewelry, and girls, right? Still the same.
Hey man, we've been doing it like that since the 80s, baby. Yeah. Ain't too much change. Got a couple of good looking girls. Got some splash on.
I mean, like Travis Scott was he did the Seven City tour, right?
Yeah.
And like my son, who he likes music, he's more of a gamer, but it was in his game. So it was in Fortnite. So he like, yo, Pop, come check this out. That is the next evolution, I think, being more creative, you know. It doesn't necessarily have to be animated and that kind of thing, but making a very creative story type visuals that people can live with and maybe go on chapter to chapter to chapter. I think that's where it goes.
How important do you think is curation on some of these platforms? It seems to me like the curator is going to be what that next thing is to me. That's what it looks like to me, because it seems like all these platforms are finding curators for their, even their music, you know, streaming channels. You know what I'm saying? They just
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the curator is the program to register slash DJ, right? Yep. So, I mean, when I was growing up, I used to make slow jam tapes. That's what I might do. You know, we stay in COVID too much longer, I might start my own slow jam channel. Like, that was my job. That's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a DJ, but I'm
gonna hit you with your head on them slow jams. I don't know if you want to go with that. No, listen. I'm gonna throw some zingers in there. You're gonna be like, ooh.
I got, listen, right here. I got some joints in here. But yeah, so the curator is the new DJ, the tastemaker, the program director. I think that, you know, listen, I don't agree with a lot. I mean, I listen to and go through a lot of playlists, and you know what I don't like about the streaming piece of it is that they churn so fast. And that's the thing, you were talking about how to keep the kids engaged earlier, right? They churn through music so quickly. The fact that we used to have to go through that process of waiting at least a week for the next thing to come out, and God forbid, our favorite artist, 18 months in some cases, right? Yeah. Now, you know, cats can drop a record any day of the week they want. They can drop a full-length project, EP or LP or whatever you want to call it, six songs or more, anytime they want, and they can do it every day if they have the bandwidth to do it. So I think it's watering down the music, because listen, even Prince wasn't that great, God bless him. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody, nobody's that great that everything you drop is for public consumption. So I think that piece, again, going back to the label system, having trained ears and eyes to help you create and craft your vision and your sound, that's where that comes into a role. So I think that piece of it is still, there's still a lot of growth and a lot of life left in that piece of it. But I think that, you know, the curator, I mean, if you find somebody that has good taste and fits, more importantly, fits your taste, not even good taste, but fits with your mood and your whatever disposition you might be in at that point in time, it works.
Yeah, yeah. What's the next move for you? I know you're a big time, you know, El Capitan there, but, you know, everybody's always thinking about what's my next step? What am I going to do? Or, you know, do you want to go to the head of the company and run the whole shebang?
I mean, the future for me, man, I mean, is more personal than it is about business. I mean, I want to really be the best father and husband I can be. You know, I got two preteens and a teenager. So, you know, I think we're doing okay giving them what we didn't have. But more importantly, I want them to appreciate the world. You know, we talk about, and I was on a, talking to someone last week, and I said, you know, taking this time right now, I want them to learn a foreign language. You know, I'm just ordered a keyboard, so I want them to learn at least the basics of playing piano. You know, hopefully they'll go and play, but I don't play, but I know the basics, you know what I'm saying? But on the business side, man, I just want to continue to grow. I would love to continue to grow within my current organization. I think there's a lot of life left in me and a lot of life left in the business that I want to grow in, but my biggest passion is mentorship. You know, I have an organization that I've been starting and fumbling with, and just it exists really in name only, called Behind the Mic. And the whole point of it is there's five jobs in front of the mic, but there's 500 jobs behind the mic. And I really want to curate, to use that word, the next generation of executives on any level, and just have let people know that you don't necessarily have to be on a microphone or in front of the camera or on the stage or on a field to have a successful life in any entertainment venue, you know? That's my passion. So if I can get that off the ground and hopefully, you know, I got a handful of cats, you know, male and female, that I, you know, they call on me the way I call them my OGs. to help them kind of navigate not just the business, but life in general. If I can do that on a mass scale, that will probably be my life's work, I think. And I have, hopefully I have time to do it, but that's what I see for myself outside of this business.
Azim Rashid, ladies and gentlemen, Sony VP or Columbia. I appreciate your time, first of all, because I know you
had his friend.
But I really, really appreciate you. Will we see a Nemesis Munchies for your base reunion anytime soon?
No, sir. That ship sailed. I think, what is this? This is 2020.
All the guys still around?
No. Big Al, God rest his soul, has been gone now, I want to say 13 years. Al, I think 17 years. I think Al passed in 2003. Snake's still around. He's in Dallas, DJing, engineering, doing his thing. Big Al has a son, Rakim Al-Jabbar, who's doing really well. Young, burgeoning hip-hop artist in Dallas. Check him out if you can. And then some of the original guys in the group, Bumblebee and Easy Rock C, just, you know, living their lives, doing their thing, man. But I don't, you know, we had a reunion about, I think it was 2017, 2016, where we did, we got a presentation from the city of Dallas, and we had plaques done with all, you know, collectively Nemesis and Ron C sold about 2 million records. So, you know, we had a nice.
Do you feel like y'all started a lot of that stuff that's going on in Dallas? I know you never really toot your horns like, yeah, I did that. But, you know, you were a part of Nemesis, and it, you know, kind of sprouted that whole chain reaction in the D-Town in Dallas area.
Yeah, I mean, everything has a genesis, and we were part of it. I mean, you know, God.
And you are on a major label. Let me mention that you are on Profile.
Yeah, you know, we were the first ones to do it, you know, and hopefully, you know, that, you know, Dallas is still catching up, and we still talk to all the guys I deal with there, and, you know, the DJs and the people who are in the business in Dallas that are still trying to make it something big. It just hadn't sparked that way, but I think we were around, and we were actually blessed to be at a time where, you know, we took that fuel and that energy where, you know, New York wasn't messing with the South. So kind of like in Houston, you know, New York, I think Houston and Dallas were on the same platform. They were like, yo, y'all won't do it, we'll do it for ourselves.
Yep.
And we had all the same records. We had all the same equipment. We had the same cars, and it was ours. So the industry growing in that way. And that's something too that I really would like. I do a lot of mentorship in Dallas, non-musical stuff. But just being a resource there, and I tell the guys all the time, I said, listen, I'm available, man. Like, I'm not hiding, you know. I work for a living, so I don't have, like, unlimited hours to give. But cast it as serious and don't want a handout because nobody gave me one, I'm here for it. But I think that the problem with a lot of the generation today, and it exists in our generation too, so it's not unique to us. Yeah. But people who want something bad enough, I think where we professionals like yourself and I who had to climb up the hard way and didn't have this kind of access to technology or information, you know, we kind of got a chip on our shoulders. It's like, dude, like, do you know what I had to do to get where you are? Like,
can you imagine if you had this when you were doing what you were doing?
First of all, I still believe if I would have started like 3 or 4 years later, I'd still be doing it because the business shifted, you know, as I was exiting to become an executive, the business shifted where hip hop became boom, right? So what we were doing, you know, what's currently now known as entrepreneurship, nobody else was doing it, right? It was crazy. It was unseen. But if I had these resources too, please. And listen, and there's some guys, there's some men and women out here who are doing it right, and they should be applauded. And I hope that the ones who are successful, A, are teaching their friends how to fish, and B, people are looking at them and saying, listen, like I said, I don't need you to give me anything other than an opportunity and a platform, or show me how you did it so I can do it for myself. And I think when people adopt that attitude, the game will totally change because the cats are doing it. They're just not doing it right, or they're not doing it to a level that they can have sustainability. Like, it's one thing to do it and have be a one-hit wonder, as they say, right? It's easy to do it once. Doing it twice is the hard part.
That's right. That's right. Isn't amazing, man. Hip hop gave us all this. Literally, yep. We rap kids, and it gave us our whole life existence. I totally don't know what I would be if it wasn't for hip hop. Literally,
my life.
I would have had no career. I didn't play ball. I wasn't good. This career, look where it's gotten you, from rapper to, you know, head of your division. This is crazy, man. Hip hop is crazy.
Yeah.
Man, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you taking the time away from work and your family, brother.
Respect, man. I appreciate you having me, dog. You know, I'm here anytime you need me.